Of the Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful for all who have chose to join us this evening. We trust you've had a blessed Resurrection Sunday. We've had a great day in the Lord. We had a wonderful sunrise service with Brother Jim Reeves from State Line Baptist Church, and really appreciated him being here with us this morning and preaching such a great message. We had a great worship service this morning at 11 o'clock, our drive-in service, and I thought the turnout was awesome, and everybody has just commented about how blessed they were to be able to be here, and we're so thankful for that. And we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord tonight as we look to His Word for just something else that will help us as we go through life's journey and face the difficulties of life that we are dealing with. We're going to open with a song tonight, page 166 in our hymnal is Jesus Saves, and we know you know it at home, so sing. If you don't know anything else, you can shout out that Jesus saves and let everybody around you know that you believe it. Amen. So let's sing tonight a singing unto the Lord.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Tonight, it's good to know that Jesus saves. And it's good to know that He not only saved in my time, but He saves in this time. Amen. And I'm glad when I needed it, He was there to save me, and I'm glad tonight that those who need to be saved can still find salvation at the foot of the cross, because Jesus died that we might live. He died that He might save us and redeem us from the curse of sin. Before we go to the Lord in prayer tonight, we want to go down our prayer list one more time, our prayer request, and ask you to remember the needs in these lives and pray for them in a mighty way. Sister Marie LaFue has asked us to pray for her lost loved ones, and keep Sister Haley in your prayers. Brother Joe Gonzalez has asked us to pray for his family and to keep his daughter Stacy in your prayers as she's making her journey back to Japan to transfer to their new duty station from Japan to Germany. And I'll have to catch up with Brother Joe and find out how she's made out on that journey. Keep Reeve and Connie in your prayer. Reeve is in Calvert Manor Nursing Home, and they have had the virus breakout up there. And I think there's around 16 patients that have contacted the coronavirus. So remember Reeve and Connie in your prayers. Remember Calvert Manor. Remember the residents there. Remember the staff there. We have some folks from our church who work there, and it's a very real concern and a very real deal to them. Remember Brother Jack and Sister Eileen Mullins. Keep Brother Jack in your prayers especially. Very low immune system, and just health issues he's been dealing with lately. Brother Randy Mullins, keep him in your prayer for his ongoing health issues. keep Tanya Sawyer in your prayers. Chemo is wiping her out when she takes it and makes her really tired. So just lift her up in prayers and just pray in a very special way for Tanya. We want to see her get some strength and some victory in the midst of all this. She just had some surgery here a few weeks ago, and now just another bout that she's dealing with the cancer. But just pray for her in a mighty way, in a special way, and just pour your heart out very sincerely for her. This is a very trying time, a very serious time, and very serious matter that she's dealing with. And all these are, but right now she's just right on the cutting edge here, and she needs us to come together, prayer warriors, and just lift her name up in a special way. So do that if you would. Keep Trish Deaver in your prayers, and we just praise God that her biopsy came back, not cancer. They're going to be keeping an eye on it and just seeing what happens, but pray for her. She's still recovering from surgery. She just had another one recently, and just pray that God just gets her through all this. Pray for Brother Eugene Rodriguez's friend Gilbert. They come down from New York every year, from New York City, to be with our Faith of Our Fathers Jubilee in February. And Brother Gilbert has kidney problems that are only functioning at 15%. Covet your prayers, so lift him up in prayer if you would. Keep Brother Stan and Sister Reba in your prayers. Brother Stan just in a lot of pain with his back and don't seem to be improving, so lift him up in prayer if you would. Keep Debbie Stanley's friend Linda in prayer. She starts her radiation. And then keep her lost loved ones in prayer as well. We ask you to pray for Charlie McCoy recovering from the coronavirus. We ask you to pray for Tracy and Sarah Duvall as they both have the coronavirus. Brother Tracy said he thinks he's coming out of it, but it's still whacking Sister Sarah pretty good. So just lift him up in prayer. If you would, keep Paul Mullins in your prayer. His back is just giving him a lot of prayer, a lot of pain, and he's asked us for prayer for that. So just lift him up in prayer. Keep his son, David Mullins, in prayer as he deals with blood clots in his leg. And then keep our grandson, Nick Jones, in prayers as he has to have knee surgery here soon. Keep all our health workers and our church up at lifted up in prayer, especially, and all health workers, but we have quite a few in our church. They work in hospitals, doctor's offices, nursing homes, and things of that nature. So just pray for all of them in a special way. Pray for our first responders, and pray for your church family, and just keep your church family in prayer. We ask you to pray for Gary Overbay as he's having some health issues, and just pray that God would just be with him. And then we got a special unspoken request that was made known to us this afternoon, and we just ask you to just lift that up. The Lord knows all about it. He knows what needs to be done and how to do it, and we just ask you that you'd lift him up. And then Linda and Barry Kennedy have both asked us to lift up their son, Josh, in prayer. He has tested positive for the coronavirus, so pray for him. And, you know, we're finding out that this thing doesn't discriminate by age. Young people are dying from it, just like old folks are, so I just lift him up in prayer as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Father, we thank you again for the privilege of prayer and being able to come before your throne. We thank you, Father, for the needs that have been made known, Father, realizing that your people, God, know where their help comes from. And Lord, we are depending on you. We lean on you. We look to you for the help and for the supply of all the needs we have, Father, for the answer to prayer, Lord, that is needed in lives. And God, we call on you tonight, Father, realizing and knowing that you already know the needs and you already know our burdens, you already know our cares, but you tell us to call upon you. You tell us to look to you and to come boldly before your throne, and we do that, Father, realizing and knowing, God, that you're able to do all things, Father, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, it's our desire tonight as we come before you, Lord, to ask you to allow your will to be done, Father. You know our hearts, and you know our desires, and you know what we want, and sometimes, Lord, you will let us have what we want, even though it's not what's best. But God, we realize the best thing that we can pray and the most sincere prayer that we can make, Lord, is that thy will be done. And that's our desire tonight, is that your will be done in everything. We have lost loved ones, lost friends, Father, lost acquaintances, lost people that we deal with at the markets and in the stores that we go to, and Father, in businesses that we frequent. And Lord, we just ask you, God, to help us, Lord, just to be a witness, to be a testimony before them. And God, that you would deal with their hearts. And Lord, help us to do our part. And Lord, we'll just leave the rest to you, God, knowing that you know all things that's going on in their lives. And you know best, Father, how to draw them unto you. Father, we just pray for the many physical needs that have been made known. Lord, some very severe, and some just seem superficial in light of others. But Lord, when it's happening to you, the individual, Father, it's all severe. It's all important. And God, we just pray as these needs have been made known unto us, Lord, that you would meet these needs, Father, according to your will as well. Father, we ask for healing where you would bring healing. We ask for a miracle, Father, where you can bring a miracle. And God, you know a miracle would do something, God, to help others, Lord. And we just ask that in your will and ask it according to your time and according to your place. And Lord, we just ask that you do what you know what needs to be done and every need that has been made known. And Father, we ask you to be in our service tonight. And Lord, help us, God, to honor you, to uplift your name, and to glorify you in all that we do, that we might honor you, Father, with the time that we spend, the time that you've given us, and the opportunity that's been presented unto us. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to reach out over the internet and still touch lives. We thank you for the privilege we had to be able to worship together, although we were in our cars and it was different. Father, it was just good to be together. It was good to see our church family, Lord, and to be able to speak to them from a distance as we left and departed this morning. And God, we just pray that you'd knit our hearts together and you'd help us, Lord, with one purpose, with one voice and one frame of mind, God, to uplift the name of Jesus, Father, that you might draw folks unto you. Now have your way and have your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen. If you got your songbook tonight, turn to page 140 as we sing tonight, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen, amen. Aren't you glad for love that has lifted us out of the pit of sin, out of the horrible pit, the miry clay, and has brought us out and set us on a solid rock and give us a firm foundation, has given us some hope that we can find peace in the midst of all the trials and in the midst of all that this world throws our way. Turn in your Bibles tonight with us into Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. And we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 9. And the Bible says in Mark 16 and verse number 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this precious word, this precious hope. We thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we serve one who has power, and we serve one who is able to do all things that we stand in need of. And Lord, we just pray, God, tonight that as your word goes forth, you would encourage the saints, you'd convict the sinner, and help us, Lord, each one, Father, to be drawn a bit closer unto you. Now have your will tonight, God, and help us, Lord, to honor you in all that we do. And we'll praise you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. We say amen and amen. As we have the narrative before us, we see all the accounts and all the stories and all the different gospels are telling about the resurrection and how the women that came to the tomb, it was the women that got there first. It was the woman, the women that heard the news first. It was the women who were drawn to Jesus the most at the beginning. But yet when they went and they told the disciples, the Bible says they didn't believe them. And they didn't believe that these things could happen and had happened like they said. And they just kind of brushed them aside. In Luke, it says it sounded like some kind of fairy tale almost. And they just couldn't believe that this had happened. And they just brushed it off. And, you know, sometimes we go through things when people just brush us off. Here the Bible says in verse number 10 that they were in the house. They were mourning and weeping there in verse number 10 in the very end. They mourned and wept, and their hearts were broken. They were sheltering in place where they were, amen, so to speak. And things had transpired, things that had happened that drove them to find a place to shelter, to find a place to hide. And in the midst of their hiding, they began grieving. And when the good news came, when there was a glimmer of hope that was brought unto them, the Bible says they didn't believe it. Not only when the women came did they not believe it. In verse number 13, it says that he appeared to two of them. And we know from the book of Luke that this was the two that were on the road to Emmaus. And he joined himself to them, and he shared with them, and he spoke with them, and he broke bread with them. And praise God, he blessed them. When he disappeared, and they realized who it was that they had been with. They realized what it was that he had told them and shared unto them, that in fact just exactly what he said had come to pass. And they ran back all the way from Emmaus to Jerusalem that they could tell the residue, that they could tell the other disciples. But they believed them not. And sometimes I want to preach to you just on this thought for a moment. Don't sweat it. Amen. Don't sweat it. Sometimes you're going to share things with people and they're not going to believe it. Sometimes you're going to share miracles that happen in your life, miracles that God has done for you. Others might not believe it, but you know it was a miracle that was sent from God for you. And it might not mean anything to anyone else, but to you, it's the greatest thing in the world. And when they don't believe it, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. There are times when we believe that God has laid a burden on our heart and God has shared something with us and God has maybe called us to do something and wants us to do something and we share it with others in our Christian family, in our Christian community, and they blow you off and think you're some kind of a nutcase or God couldn't have spoken to you. God couldn't have burdened you. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. It happened here to these who had walked with Jesus. These weren't strangers. They were familiar to one another. Mary Magdalene was with Jesus and his disciples after she got delivered from those demons that were with her. She was a follower of Jesus and she was close to Jesus. She was close to the disciples and she was aware of all these things that were going on. But when her and the others come and said, "He's alive. He's risen like he said." Amen. They did not believe him and they thought that perhaps they done went off the deep end. Sometimes my church probably thinks the pastor's done went off the deep end. Sometimes the pastor might think that you've went off the deep end. But don't worry about it. If God has put it on your heart and God has spoke to you, don't sweat it. Just keep going and just keep doing what God wants you to do. If you share the gospel with a lost and a dying world and they reject it and they don't want to hear it, don't sweat it. You've done what you was told to do. What did the angels instruct the witnesses to do? He told them women, when they come to the tomb, go tell. Amen. Go tell Peter and the disciples. Go tell the disciples. Go share what you've seen. Go share what you know. Go share what has happened and what has transpired. And tonight, the Lord still has given us that direction, that instruction to go and tell him. It's not our job to worry about what he does after that. It's our job just to go and do what he's told us to do, and to do what he's burdened us to do. He's told us to go and tell a lost and a dying world. And if they reject you, if they turn you away, if they mock you and ridicule you, don't sweat it, amen, because you've done what you were supposed to do. I want you to listen to this and look at this for just a minute. Don't sweat it because they didn't believe the prophets. Amen. His disciples who walked with him, no doubt, knew all these prophecies. But yet when it came down to it, they didn't believe it. When it got real, they didn't believe it. You know, there's things that are happening and transpiring in this world as we see the Bible playing out and being fulfilled before us and things coming into motion. And I believe in all reality, I believe all things that the Bible said are in the end times and in the last days before the coming of Christ are beginning to fulfill themselves. Now, I know that Paul was looking for that day. I know Peter and James and John were looking for that day. And I believe every saint in every age of the church has been looking for that day and expecting that day to happen at any time. But I believe, and I know we're closer now than they were, amen, because we're 2,000 years removed from them. But I believe as we look around us and we see what's happening on the world stage and we see what's playing out before us, that we're even closer than that now. And yet, people still don't believe when you tell them. People still don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't believe, and they didn't believe the prophets. Look at what Jesus said as he prayed over Jerusalem. He said in Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus prayed, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stone them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. These things were heard, these things were preached, and these things were proclaimed. But what did God's people, this isn't the heathen kings that came into Judah and Israel that done these things. This was God's people who done these things to God's prophet. When we think about the fact that these men were ordained of God to speak God's mind, to speak God's truth to his people, and they killed them. They persecuted them. They did not believe them. I think Micaiah, when Jehoshaphat and Ahab were together, and Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to go to war with him, and he had all these things, and all these people were telling him to go, and Jehoshaphat had enough sense to ask, well, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? They had all Ahab's prophets, but he said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? And Ahab said, yeah, there's one. He said, Micaiah, but I don't like him because he doesn't prophesy anything good about me. And they went and called him. And when they called him, they told him, said, now look, this is what the king wants to hear. This is what you need to say. So he went and told him just what the king wanted to hear. And the king knew he wasn't telling the truth. And he wasn't speaking what God had laid on his heart. And said, how many times have I adjured you to tell me the truth? When you tell him the truth, he gets mad. And when he gets mad, he does something to you. What did he do to Micaiah? He had him thrown into prison and fed him with bread and water until he come back. And sure enough, the prophecy that Micaiah had prophesied was the right prophecy, was the true prophecy, and Ahab died in the battle just like it had been prophesied about him. But they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe it, and they throwed him into prison. Jeremiah prophesied to the children of Judah. He prophesied of the coming judgment of Israel, and they did not want to hear it, and they throwed him into prison. He wound up in jail for preaching and proclaiming truth more than any preacher I know of besides Paul. Amen. Every time you turn around, Jeremiah was back in jail. He'd get out, and he'd be back in jail, and sometimes they even threw him in the old miry pit and got him as low as he could get. Sometimes he got discouraged, but then the Lord encouraged him. At one point he said, I'm not going to speak anymore of this word that God has given me. He said, but then he just came unto him. He said, it was like a fire shut up in my bones. He said, I couldn't contain it. He said, I got discouraged and I got worried about every time that they didn't believe, every time they threw me in jail, every time they persecuted me. He said, but God showed me that he was greater. God showed me that he was better. God showed me that he had more power than all of them. And I couldn't help but say what he wanted me to say. They had persecuted the prophets. They didn't believe the prophets. They didn't believe John the Baptist. Amen. And when John the Baptist spoke the truth, they throwed him in jail. Amen. They cut his head off. They beheaded him. He was the greatest of all the prophets because he was the one who prophesied of the Messiah, and yet they did not want to believe him. They did not want to heed him. They did not want to hear him when he preached righteousness unto a wicked and a forsaken nation. Don't sweat it. They didn't believe the prophets. When they don't believe you, they don't want to hear you. Don't sweat it. They didn't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn in your Bibles for a minute into John chapter number 8. I'm going to read verses 39 to 47. The Bible says in John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And listen at this. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The prophets were ordained of God to speak his truth. Jesus was God in the flesh, come down from the glory world to prove his truth and to share his truth and to live his truth. They didn't believe the Lord even when they saw the miracles, even when they saw the dead raised to life. They didn't believe the Lord, and they were ridiculing him, and they were accusing him of being of the devil. And the Lord reminded them that a house divided against itself cannot stand. The devil won't stand, and the devil won't hinder the devil. But praise God, only the Lord can do what he was doing. Only the Lord has the power over life and death. And it was only through the operation and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord, and through God himself, even though he was manifest in the flesh, that the dead were able to come back to life. He did the miracles. He did the wonders. He did all the things that he did. And they didn't believe the Lord when he spoke the truth. You know something today? It's still hard to speak truth to some people. Some people do not want to hear the truth. They would rather hear a lie and be satisfied in their sin, be satisfied in their self, be satisfied in their own condition. Because somebody made them feel good by telling them a lie. There's some folks that you can't speak truth to, because if you speak truth to them, they get all bent out of shape. I want you to know something. The truth is still the truth, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire. And though the world might not want to hear the truth, and you speak the truth, and if you speak the truth in love like Jesus did, Jesus spoke the truth in love. Sometimes it was a hard truth, but he spoke it in love. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was his desire to restore what had been broken. It was his desire to bring back again what a man had allowed to be broken into shambles when he sinned in the garden. It was one man that had brought sin into the world. It would take another man to defeat sin and to conquer sin and to bring a victory over sin. That first man was Adam. That second man was Jesus. He came in love, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was a matter of love that brought Jesus. It was a matter of love that made him speak truth, even though sometimes it was a hard truth, even though sometimes it was a truth they didn't want to hear. You know what? The greatest thing that you can do to anybody is speak the truth. And when they're in sin, they're in sin. When they're not right, they're not right. And sometimes as a pastor, I have to speak truth. And sometimes people get mad at me because I speak the truth. And my wife can tell you that's so. I do it in love. I try to do it as compassionately as I know how. But when you come to me with a problem and you want to hear the truth and you want to hear what needs to be done, I'm going to speak to you in the truth. If you don't like it, don't get mad at me. Amen. I'm just doing what God had told me to do. And listen, when you need to speak truth, and you need to speak the truth of God's word, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it when they don't believe you. Don't sweat it when they don't want to hear you. Don't sweat it when they reject you. Don't sweat it when they turn their back on you. Don't sweat it. They sought to kill Jesus because he spoke truth. They sought to kill Jesus because he shared with them what they had done unto God's word and God's law, how they had twisted it up and turned it around. I am to the place where I don't worry about what anybody else thinks about how I preach or what I do at my church or how we do things here. I want to honor the Word of God, and I want to try to stay close to the Word of God. If other folks do whatever they want to, I'm not going to break fellowship with them unless they get far removed from the Word of God. But praise God, I'm not going to follow after every hobby horse that comes along. I'm going to stay in the Word and try to stay true to the Word. And if folks get mad at me and folks don't like it and folks don't believe that I'm adhering to the Word, I'm not going to sweat it, because as long as I have peace in my heart, I'm all right with it. As long as I'm doing what God tells me to do, I'm all right with it. They didn't believe the prophets. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe the apostles when they spoke and when they preached. Look at poor old Paul, all the times that he was beaten and scourged, the times he was shipwrecked, he was stoned. Listen, in Acts 14, the Bible says in verse number 15, and this Paul saying, "And sirs, why do you these things?" Man, they seen Paul and Barnabas do some things, and man, they got all excited, and the priest of Jupiter thought that they were gods come down, and they went, and they got animals, and they were going to slay the animals, and they were going to sacrifice, and they were going to worship Paul. And Paul said, "Man, you don't need to be doing this." He said, "And sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." And then listen at this, in verse number 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium." Now don't forget, he'd just been stoned here a short while ago because he was preaching truth. They didn't want to hear the truth in Iconium, and they stoned him, and they left him out because they didn't want to hear it. But he kept right on preaching. He kept right on doing what God had told him to do. "Who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Listen, there are folks in this world and folks who will still mistreat you, folks who will still abuse you, folks who will do things because they don't believe people are doing what God has told them to do. They don't believe people were speaking the truth. Mary Magdalene and the women that were with her were speaking the truth, and the disciples believed them not. The two fellows on the way to Emmaus came and told them that they had walked with Jesus. They had talked with Jesus. They had sat down to dine with Jesus. Amen. And when he broke the bread, their eyes had been opened, and they realized the truth. And though they were speaking the truth, they believed them not. Amen. They thought they were crazy. When Paul and Barnabas are speaking the truth, they believed them not. And folks got some folks stirred up. We see some things going on in the world today. Some persecution, I believe, of churches, rightfully so. I believe there's some things that the church needs to do to act responsibly in the midst of any kind of sickness. This isn't the first time we've dealt with things. We've had times in our church when the flu was going around that we said we need to stop shaking hands, and we need to stop doing things use hand sanitizer and all these things. We've already done that. We've already practiced common sense. The Bible has given us the spirit of a sound mind to know to do these things. But we read in the news, and we see how our people are doing things to hinder the truth being preached. I just seen before we left for service tonight, a church in Kentucky, somebody had went and dumped nails all over the parking lot so that people wouldn't be able to come and worship God. You know, they stoned Paul, in his day, people are still doing what they can to hinder the truth because they don't believe the truth and they don't want to hear the truth. And there's a lot out there that don't believe it. If you don't believe it, that's fine. If you don't want to believe what I tell you, I don't have a problem with that. That's between you and God. Amen. It's my responsibility to tell you. It's my responsibility to do what God wants me to do. Amen. But I don't sweat it if you don't want to hear it. I don't sweat it if you're not going to submit yourself and surrender yourself unto what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. I'm just still going to keep on preaching. We're still going to keep on handing out tracts. We're still going to keep on being the witness that God would have us to do. And if you want to persecute us and you want to come after us, you can do whatever you want to. But I've got God on my side. Amen. I've got God in my corner. And I'm not saying that He's going to do anything to you. Paul was still beaten. Paul was still scourged. Paul was still stoned. Paul was still shipwrecked. But Paul still preached. And Paul still spoke the truth, irregardless of what anybody thought, irregardless of what anybody did, and irregardless of how anybody reacted to his preaching when he preached. It said that wherever Paul went, there was either revival or a riot. Sometimes there was both at the same time, amen, in the same city. But praise God, he kept on doing, and he kept on speaking the truth that God had told him to speak. So I want you to know something tonight. As we read this passage, as we have studied the Easter story again, and we've looked at all the Gospels, and we've heard all the different messages and everything that have been preached, I want you to know something. When people don't believe it, don't sweat it, amen. It's not your job to be the Holy Spirit. I've shared this with my church 100 times. It's not our job to be the Holy Spirit. It's just our job to be the witnesses that He's told us to be. In Matthew 28, in Mark 16, He's told us to go into the world and to preach the gospel, to go into the world and to share the gospel. In Matthew 5-7, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus instructs us to be a light that's set on a hill, a candle that's shining for the world to see, so that they can know the way and they can see what's right. He's told us what we need to do. And if the world doesn't believe it, if folks don't accept it, don't sweat it. Just keep on doing what God would have you to do. He didn't call us to do what we can't do, but He called us to do what He said we could. And He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." He didn't say you can make them believe, but He said you can let them hear. He didn't say you can make them change, but He said you can let them see. Sometimes we preach the gospel by the way we live our life. Sometimes we preach the gospel by the things we say. But it's not our job to make them believe. It's our job to let them hear. And if they don't want to hear, don't sweat it. That's not on you. What's on you is being faithful to do what you've been told to do. The women were told to go and tell the disciples. And they believed them not. They thought they were idle tales. The women did what they were supposed to do. The rest wasn't on them. The rest was on the disciples. Tonight, do what God has told us to do. We serve a risen Savior. Don't be afraid to tell a lost and a dying world. Don't be afraid to tell a world that's fearful of the coronavirus and fearful of people gathering together and can't understand why churches want to come out and churches want to gather to worship. We had a great service today. And maybe it wasn't the way that we've traditionally done it, but I thought we had great services today. We're having a great service tonight. I don't know about you listening, but I've had a great time of preaching it. Amen. I've had a great time tonight. And I'm thinking that we just need to keep on having a great time and quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking about what we're doing and just keep honoring the Lord with our lives and everything that we do. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, how about Let's play a song tonight of invitation, a song of speaking to hearts, a song for us to have a time to reflect and to just think about what we're dealing with and what we're up against, and to be reminded that we need to quit sweating. We need to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and just do what the Lord wants us to do. They wanted the disciples to know that the Lord was alive. And they went and did what God told them to do. They shared that gospel message. And tonight, as you bow your head, wherever you might be, my question is this: are you doing what God wants you to do? Maybe God has spoke to some heart about getting saved, but you're worried about what people are going to think. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about that. If God's speaking to you right now and God's telling you you need to be saved, ask Him into your heart. Invite Him in. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's speaking to you. Christian, maybe you shut Him out and He's knocking at your heart's door tonight and He wants to come in. Let Him in. Be obedient. Surrender and submit yourself unto Him and let His will be done. Brother Jim, sing a song. As you're singing tonight, pray.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
How about it?
Try me, O Savior.
God speaking to you.
Know my thoughts, I pray.
That you need to do that you haven't done because you're worried about what others might think, what others might believe. If God
some
is telling you to do
way
it, if God
me,
has laid it on your heart, I can assure you
me from every sin and set
they're not,
they
reject
me
you, and they reject you.
Free.
They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting what God has told you.
I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy.
Our Father God, we thank You tonight for this precious word. And Lord, we just pray tonight, dear God, that as we've looked at it, the thought that You just laid on our heart tonight, You'd help us, Father, to be faithful in being what You'd have us to be and doing what You'd have us to do. God, it's easy sometimes to sit back and to be quiet. It's easy sometimes to just try not to do what we know we are supposed to do. But Lord, we realize in doing that we're not doing what's pleasing unto You, what's pleasing in Your sight. Help us, Father, to surrender ourselves and to submit ourselves unto Your precious will and to do what pleases You, to go where You send us to go, to speak when You tell us to speak, and to do what You tell us to do, and do it with joy and gladness, not concerning ourselves with what anyone else does, thinks, or feels, but Lord, what pleases You. We thank You tonight for this resurrection day. We thank You, Father, for the hope and the help that it gives us. And we pray, God, that You'd be with us, be with our church family, and help us to join together, either in person or on the internet, Father, at the next appointed time. We pray it in Jesus' name. We say amen. Good night. God bless you. Don't forget to tune in on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock.